The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
who
difference.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis? Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler. You know. I hate the fool that gets in my way.
Hello, and welcome to episode 175 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dee Dee Jodin.
Hi, friends.
What's going on, friend?
Nothing much. How you bees?
I bees good. I bees good.
Wonderful.
Are you looking forward to the weekend?
I work on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, so.
yeah. But I have Monday off, so sure.
Okay, cool. So you can get extra slizzard while you watch hashtag cast in the fast lane and not have to worry about waking up on Monday early.
Well, I was never going to worry about waking up on Monday. I don't do Mondays.
Well, that's an awesome schedule, except for the Saturday part.
I listen. There are perks to this poor paying job of mine.
And tonight, we're joined by the 2017 El Dandy Award winner for Guest of the Year, none other than Miss Alexis, a.k.a. Young Littlefoot. How you doing, Littlefoot?
What's up?
I'm good. Glad that you could join us tonight.
Yeah, I'm glad to sit on my throne.
Now, I was just thinking back about your 2017, and I think on record, I think I remember you going to 3 live events, a Raw, a SmackDown, and a pay-per-view.
I went to a SmackDown for sure.
You went to Raw too, because you saw Enzo.
I did go to a Raw. Was that 2017?
Mm-hmm. It's like at the very beginning of it. Yeah.
Dang.
You went to Raw first, then you went to SmackDown, and then I think you went to a pay-per-view.
Nah, I did. I went to a Raw and saw Enzo in 2016.
Okay.
And then I went to a Raw house show, and Enzo wasn't there in 2017. And I went to a SmackDown in 2017, and I saw Enzo again because he was on the Cruiserweight show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you was all up on the camera when you was on SmackDown.
Yeah, I was.
Yes. So, and then you finished it off by being the guest of the year on the WrestleCast. So that's quite a 2017.
Yeah, it was lit.
Yeah. And tell the people where they can find you on the internet, where they can, you know, get your clothing, you know, sell your stuff.
You can find me trapping tees on the internet. I'm on Instagram at Young Littlefoot, YUNG. And I'm also on Twitter at the same place. And then I have a website where you can view all my blog posts and also buy my merch. It is alexislittlefoot.com.
All right. And hopefully soon you can find her here on the CSPN as the leader of the new slate. Maybe we can have
a reunion.
A Mania reunion show. Maybe I can work that in the cards.
Hopefully.
All right. So again, CSPN.us is where you can find the new slate and the WrestleCast. You can find the WrestleCast each and every Friday. You can also find us at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. You can also find us on any app for iPhone and Android. So we'll get into the news portion of the show. Jonathan Coachman, he got named in the sexual harassment lawsuit filed by a former ESPN employee this week. So, you know,
I can't wait to see what black man they're replacing with.
We're running low. They're going to probably bring David Otunga back.
Definitely. David Otunga is definitely who they're going to call.
So, you know, ESPN, you know, has, you know, done their investigation and whatever, what may come of that. So, you know, some news to come. We may have a new color commentator again on Raw.
Wouldn't.
It's a possibility, probably like a 10%, 5%
WWE chance. Released a statement and they said that they're investigating, but we still haven't gotten a notification that he was suspended. So,
yeah, he's still rolling.
Because I remember there were some rumors about a certain certified G, and day one of the rumors going around, he was suspended that same day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said they were looking into it the very next day, not even 24 hours. It was a full, like, maybe 12 hours. It was released. So, a little different situation here, though.
Right, right.
And Sister's accusing him got some very good credibility. So, I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be definitely something interesting, something to watch going forward. And I know Dee Dee's not going to be happy when she hears this.
Mm.
205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking about adding tag team belts after Mania.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody get tag belts but the girls? I see how it is.
Yes, that was my first thought when I heard this was like, I don't know if they deserve it before the ladies.
They don't. But, that, you know, fine, whatever.
Women's revolution. Blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
Yeah, so... that is kind of the direction they're thinking about leaning. It's nothing etched in stone yet, but we will see. So this week, Monday Night Raw came to us from Milwaukee.
Kurt Angle. Wisconsin. Wait, what did that sign say? Mill, walk with Elias.
Yeah.
I like that one. That was a creative one.
It was good. I was like, you did that. You earned that one.
Wrestling fans can sometimes, you know, come up with things that are like, oh yeah, very punny.
It's like, oh, look at you. You're clever. We love a clever person because people be dumb.
Kurt Angle comes out to the ring to kick off the show. Angle says that he has to get serious. He's had to swallow his pride several times, and he had to do what was best for business. Triple H sucker punched him last week, and everything is not okay. He calls out Triple H to face him like a man. Angle drops a suit jacket, but Stephanie comes down instead. Steph tells Angle to calm down. Triple H isn't even here yet. She brings up Angle's kids and says he has alimony payments due to having a new wife.
Stephanie, that was shady.
Yeah,
is that even true? Once your ex-wife
gets
married, do you still have alimony payments?
Well, he got remarried, and I'm pretty sure he got child support at the least.
I'm sure he got child support, but alimony is for single women. Karen got married.
Yeah, but you know,
well, maybe it's kayfabe. I don't know.
Times is hard over there too because TNA is not doing too well, so they might need them checks to keep coming.
Well, I ain't mad at it. I'm just saying, I don't know. My single ass don't know. I don't know. Anything.
I'm too young to be married.
Oh, I'm not. I'm ready to split these bills. 2018.
Hashtag. What was messed up though was like Stephanie was like, "You got four children?" Kurt was like, "No, I have five." "No, you have six."
He
was,
I was gonna say, did that not include?
He's not even counting Jason Jordan no more. Like, damn.
Gotta count him out.
Damn.
Just because he's black.
I know he watches This Is Us. He should be accepting it by now. So, Steph praises Kurt's accomplishments, but those accolades do not pay the bills. She blames things going wrong on him, and Triple H got even. She tells him to know his role and do not let his ego get in the way. Ronda Rousey comes down. She hugs Angle, and she even shakes Stephanie's hand. The crowd is happy to see Ronda. Ronda isn't happy with what happened to Angle last week, and she was enlightened. Ronda says she's dealt with bully bosses before and will handle things her own way. Steph says that she signed a WWE contract, and Steph oversees her, and that doesn't have to be a bad thing. They gave Rousey her dream. A match at WrestleMania. Rousey says that she's grateful and that she does get to choose her opponent at Mania. Steph says as long as it's not the champion and is an active member of the roster. Rousey picks Steph. Steph says she's not an active roster member, and Triple H arrives and puts a stop to this and tells Angle to do his job. Angle agrees that Steph is an executive, but also she has a talent contract. And since Angle makes the matches, he makes Rousey versus Steph for Mania. Angle says that Triple H also has a contract as a talent, and he books a tag match. Steph starts to run down Angle, and Rousey cuts her off. Triple H gets involved and breaks it up, and he brawls with Angle. Angle runs wild and looks for the ankle lock, but Triple H shoves him away, and Steph attacks Rousey from behind. Angle then gets the ankle lock on Triple H, and Steph pulls him to the floor. Rousey grabs Steph and pulls her back into the ring, hits a Samoan drop to lay Steph out, and Angle and Ronda Rousey are standing tall. So, Miss Alexis, let's hear your thoughts on Miss Ronda Rousey. How do you feel about her being a full-time... Ronda...
Oh.
Okay. And what did you feel about the segment and the setup for the Match at Mania?
Who?
Okay. See where this was going.
Yeah. I can't put my money into somebody that I've seen get slept twice, so...
There you go, folks. That's why she was 2017 Guest of the Year. So, Ms. Edie Janae, anything you'd like to add to this segment?
I was talking about AppleCare, and AppleCare being Tommy Dreamer, that Ronda Rousey did the Samoan drop incorrectly.
Yeah, what was his advice? To ask The Rock or Nia Jax?
Any fucking Samoan is what he wanted to say. He was like, there are about 15 of them back there. Why don't you go ask one?
Speaking of Nia Jax, the opening match of Raw is Nia Jax versus Asuka.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Nia Jax gives Asuka a press slam, but misses the leg drop. Asuka locks on the armbar. Nia Jax powerbombs Asuka, but Asuka won't let go. Asuka holds on, and then Nia slams her into the turnbuckles, but Asuka still holds on. Nia Jax powers up again, but Asuka maintains the hold. Nia fights, but finally she has to tap, and Asuka is victorious. Thoughts?
I mean, I don't believe in it, but if that's the story you want to tell me, sure. Like, if you want me to believe that I can slam Lil Asuka 17 times and she never lets go of Nia's arm, sure. If you want me to believe that through all that, Asuka's shoulders were up all the way too, fine. I'll go with it. I'll go with you on this journey of lies.
Littlefoot?
I wasn't really here for the match. I was more here for that Oscar-winning performance Nia Jax did with them crocodile tears at the end. That was A1 acting right there.
It was real. Kayfabe, man. Kayfabe.
The process of turning Nia into a babyface is slowly beginning.
I'm annoyed, though. Why can't she be a face like Braun is a face?
She's getting there. Like, the press slam of Asuka, that's like one of the little steps got the crowd to ooh and ah. The fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and finally giving up, that's another little trick that they use. And you notice when she was leaving, they give her the moment to leave the ring, and the people were cheering and clapping. So,
But I don't want her to cry. Well, be sad. Be depressed.
Again, another little trick. Sympathy. Gotta build sympathy. Okay, remember the beginning of Black Panther, right?
That shit is so childish.
He comes on the screen. You know he just had something happen to him. He's kind of feeling bad for himself. So you're like, I don't know if I can really get behind this guy. And what's the first thing they do? Have him win the fight against M'Baku, right? So then you're all in charge of him. Like, okay.
Did either of them cry?
They did not cry, but it helped build him. But well, he did cry because he started out being sad because he lost his dad.
He did not cry.
But he didn't cry.
There were no tears. Only girls cry.
He didn't cry, though.
Big-ass sensitive Nia from a family of Samoans cries. You ain't gonna tell me they have not teased her since she was all of 2 years old. She is used to shit. She is not a crier.
And for the record, we're Team Killmonger over here, though. So.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, no, I'm Team M'Baku. We will not have it all.
I said we will not have it. Okay.
The Bar versus The Revival. The Revival hit the old Power and Glory finisher, a suplex on Cesaro, followed by the top rope splash. And that gets a good near fall. Sheamus cuts off the Shatter Machine. Cesaro hits the Gotch neutralizer, and The Bar gets the win.
People watch this match?
I saw it.
Did you? Thought you saw it?
I vaguely saw it, because you know I like The Bar. But I didn't see it.
No, I think it's like one of those things. You know how like there's this thing where everybody thinks that
Mandela effect.
That's what I feel like. Yeah, I kind of saw it, but I saw it. I think I've seen this match multiple times, but I don't think I've seen it.
I know what you're talking about. It's like everybody thinks Sally Field was like, "You like me? You really like me?" She never said that, but everybody thinks she did.
I was going to say everybody thought Sinbad played a genie in a genie movie.
I swear but he did.
I swear to God he did. I remember it.
I feel like I do too. But they said that's not true. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we all got brainwashed at one point in time.
I believe it. It was in damn, you know when the DARE people used to come to your school? That's probably when it happened.
No.
DARE never came to your school?
It's called cable television.
They did.
It's been in your life for your whole life.
USA Up All Night probably did a doozy on me.
Oh no!
The Rescue Diaries.
They start earlier than that. They start with cartoons. They start with cartoons. They teach you about racism and sexism and with cartoons.
I don't remember that. I was watching like Between the Lions and shit though. So
if you ever,
I do remember the cartoons because they used to treat the other little duck different, and then they changed them because the yellow duck was a little too Caucasian, so then they made him a brown duck.
If you ever watch, if you ever watch Looney Tunes, if you ever watch the Daffy Duck cartoon, it's Black Man Struggle.
Daffy's supposed to be a black man.
Compared to Bugs Bunny? Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, is that why don't nobody like Daffy Duck?
And that's why Daffy Duck always has the bad shit happen to him when him and Bugs Bunny are always around.
Because Daffy everybody Duck's blames the black man?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
So what was Roadrunner?
Mexican.
Okay.
No. Speedy Gonzalez was Mexican. The Roadrunner.
That was obvious. Speedy Gonzalez was
the Roadrunner Canadian?
I don't know.
What's the Roadrunner?
That's interesting. It'd be cool though.
The Roadrunner just minded his business. He was just like, I just want to get places. Like,
I got places to go.
He just didn't want to be bothered. I feel like the Roadrunner was actually a dude though. Because the girl would have laughed at some point, like, damn, it's fucked up. But he was just like oblivious, like a dude.
Wally Coyote had to have a very healthy bank account.
He was British. I remember him speaking. The coyote was British.
I don't remember neither one of them speaking. Just like Tom and Jerry never spoke.
No. It wasn't that often, but Wile E. Coyote spoke. He's British. I never heard about
it. I think he only spoke in Space Jam.
Oh, I don't acknowledge that. I don't.
What?
I don't do basketball. And I definitely don't do basketball in space. Fuck.
That's not okay.
Oh, you're missing one of the greatest movies ever. It's got all the cartoon characters you ever grew up with in one movie.
It's one of the greatest movies.
I just watched them on Looney Tunes.
Oh goodness!
It was Looney Tunes.
Yes, exactly. It is Looney Tunes.
And the soundtrack was playing.
But without basketball, don't you see how this works for me? I hate basketball. I'm not interested in Michael Jackson. I don't like any of that shit. I Believe I Can Fly is an awful song, and it's not just because I hate R. Kelly. It's just an awful song.
How do you hate R. Kelly?
Because he rapes little girls. That's neither here nor there.
He's a trash human, but his music is very good.
Okay, Dave Chappelle.
His music is made to entice your little sister. Like, once you know that, but that's your business. If you're into it, I don't care. I Believe You Can Fly is just an awful song.
R. Kelly gave us Bump 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 and damn near the entire B2K Pandemonium album, and that was my childhood. So.
Because they're both made to appeal to 14-year-olds. You see how this works. But anyway.
I was 14.
Believe I Can Fly is just awful. I think that just turned me off of all of it.
Wow.
Even if I didn't care about R. Kelly, I hate that song. I hate that song. You know why? Because when I graduated from high school. No, that was a different thing. When I graduated from high school, they said on the thing that they were going to say Lean On Me. And we thought we were going to call on bread. And it was the other one.
No.
Everybody was disappointed. Right. The Christian one. And it was like, don't nobody want to hear that shit. Yeah. But anyway, I Believe I Can Fly is awful.
That whole conversation was a lot better than the whole conversation John Cena had. Where he talked about trying to get to WrestleMania and having a six-pack challenge. And coming out on Raw to say this because he knows that they wouldn't let him say it over on SmackDown.
I said that he's like the guest preacher at your church. And you're just like, God damn it. Like, I had somewhere to be this afternoon. Shut up.
And John Cena said tripping. He don't know if he want to be red team or blue team.
Y'all are not going to convince me Nikki Bella doesn't wear earplugs when she's in the house with him. There is no way she pays attention to every time he speaks. No way. No possible way.
I don't know, but I got to see that John Cena movie coming out.
Which one? The one about the girl trying to lose her virginities?
Yes, I'm going to see it.
That actually did look good. I'm still not going. Fuck him. I don't want him thinking he can be a star. You're not a star.
Goldust appears and says that he could have been a contender, but he's become a bum. Goldust says Cena is the leading man and says he's always had a dream of sharing the screen with someone like Cena at WrestleMania. That dream begins with Goldust stopping Cena from going to Mania. He's never had a perfect story. They've all been taken away from him. They have been turned evil, and that ends today. If Cena wants to go to Mania, that's his dream, but Goldust is here to be his new director. Tonight, Cena's dreams will be shattered. And then Goldust proceeded to hit John Cena squaw between the eyes. To the delight of what Sleep Devil
everybody
and Janae and a whole list of other folks.
Milwaukee as a whole.
So, of course, we get the match, John Cena versus Goldust. Goldust hits a low blow and covers Cena for two. Cena fires up with shoulder blocks and the proto bomb. The five knuckle shuffle follows and the AA connects and John Cena gets the win.
Meh.
Elias talks with Kurt Angle and tries to get his match with Strowman canceled. Angle refuses and Elias says whatever happens to Braun tonight is on Kurt Angle. Charlie asks Bayley about not tagging Banks last week. Bayley says that what happened with Banks, what she did at Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber was hard for her to take. Absolution interrupts. Paige says that Bayley finally gets it and grew a backbone, joking that she's a big girl now. Paige says Bayley is a stupid child and that there's strength in numbers. If you have no one, you have nothing.
That's why she's been engaged 18 times in 6 weeks.
There's been some talks and some rumors that a certain Al Patron has been sniffing around WWE lately. They may be back in the, you know, talks with each other about him coming back in, so we'll see. We get Bayley.
Sounds like he's going to be on SmackDown.
Yeah, more than likely. We get Bayley versus Mandy Rose. Bayley works over Rose in the corner and hits a Saito suplex. Bayley goes to the ropes and DeVille distracts her, but Bayley knocks her to the floor. Bayley cradles Rose and picks up the win. So, distraction finish. Take your seats.
Hey.
After the match, Rose and DeVille beat down Bayley. Sasha Banks arrives and makes a save. Banks helps Bayley up and looks for a hug, but Bayley shoves her away and Bayley leaves the ring. Okay, Dee Dee. So last week, they was even. What'd you call this week?
Same.
Okay, all right.
I don't care. Bayley does need a backbone. And Sasha kicked her in the face. It's not okay.
Miss Alexis, your thoughts on the Bayley-Sasha interactions?
I didn't see this specific one because I fell asleep at 9 o'clock. But,
Elimination Chamber, what'd you think about that?
I like heel Sasha. That I'm always here for heel Sasha. Shout out to sis. But I can't get in anything that got to do with Bayley. I just can't. But I would like to see Bayley versus Sasha at WrestleMania.
We're all hoping for that.
Because the show's going to be 7 fucking hours. So.
Are you making a trip?
Yes, I will be there selling t-shirts.
Have fun. Go check her out.
I'm meeting Seth Rollins on that Saturday too.
Yeah. Trap him.
Yeah, I want to sit on his lap.
Yeah, and spin. Yes.
Whoa.
Damn right.
And then I'm gonna whisper "Black Lives Matter" in his ear,
and he'll be like, "Fuck yeah, Dev. Yes, woke bae. Yes."
Hashtag. Yeah. This segment was brought to you by hashtag Creepcast. Hashtag Ladies Night Wrestlecast.
But yeah, if you get an opportunity to sit on his lap, I firmly approve of this.
Yeah, I'm going to try as hard as I can for my $212. So
for the culture. Yeah, absolutely.
On that note, Alexa meets with a disappointed Nia. Alexa comments on her losing at Elimination Chamber and tonight as well, noting that it had to be embarrassing. Alexa doesn't want to make Nia feel like a failure, but she knows that she can make WrestleMania next year. Alexa says that Nia has been an outcast, bullied, and scorned because she's always been bigger. Some may think that Jax is a quitter, but Alexa doesn't want her to give up because if she does, everyone will lose respect for her. Alexa makes poor Nia cry.
Oh no, don't mind me.
Yes, but that's why she's the champion. It has nothing to do with her in-ring ability. It has mostly to do with she can just talk and make these segments go.
Who?
As a person that almost shares the same name as you.
Oh.
Huh?
Alexa. That's why she's good. That's why she's the champion.
I'm just looking for where these motivational speeches were in high school because never mind. That's
what's coming.
Never mind. I know. I'm just saying people that were bigger in our high school that got bullied, she didn't stand up for them. So I was not. Where was this in 06? So.
It was a decade ago. Maybe young Blondie changed.
Highly doubt it.
Okay.
Highly doubt it.
Listen, I mean, it's not Black History Month, but I'm still not into defending Caucasian people. It's fine.
There are all kinds of musical instruments on the stage. Elias Tinker's at the piano for his pre-match promo.
He can play the piano. When will your fave?
He then drops a beat on the drum kit.
He plays the drums. When will your fave?
Noting that he's not a one-trick pony. Mm-hmm. He says that Braun is living in his world, and then he grabs the guitar to play us a song. A song that will be
the guitar too.
A song that will be the last song Braun hears before he walks with Elias. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, if after all this, Braun was like, but I do want to walk with Elias. I would crack up.
Elias, after asking for the lights to be dropped down for a proper introduction, starts to run backstage and out of the building. Elias gets in a car, but Braun isn't finished with him yet and has picked up the back of the car, stopping Elias's escape. So, of course, Elias runs back inside the building, and Braun chases him back inside the building. And so they have their match, Braun Strowman versus Elias, in a Symphony of Destruction Falls Count Anywhere match. Braun grabs the big old bass guitar and smashes it on Elias. Braun then slides Elias under the piano and then sits down and smashes on the keys. Braun picks up the piano, kicking off the legs, and smashes it onto Elias. Braun covers Elias and he gets the win. After the match, Elias gets stretchered out. Again, another 15 minutes of Braun Strowman just doing cool ass shit.
I wish that Braun walked with Elias and, like, this was like John Cena that Braun, like, destroyed. And then Elias was on the stage playing the instruments while John Cena got his ass beat.
Like a soundtrack?
Yes, like a live soundtrack.
I wish they had the trumpet so he could actually live play John
Cena's. John Cena sucks. Oh, yes.
Oh, oh, that my God. Perfect. I just read some breaking news.
Okay.
Can I insert it? Do y'all care? That, I mean,
as long as it's not spoilery, but yeah, sure. If it's news.
I am, you know, the champion of the wrestling cast, so I'm okay, so it says, as WWE enters the home stretch for the so-called Road to WrestleMania, the company announced today that the pre-show for the annual pay-per-view spectacular will begin immediately following this Sunday's Fastlane pay-per-view.
What?
So the pre-show for WrestleMania will start at 11 p.m. directly after
Fastlane?
Listen. This is where it becomes breaking news. Starting at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this Sunday, Renee Young will launch a panel discussion broadcast live on the WWE Network for 28 days and nights, 672 consecutive hours, pausing only for Raw and SmackDown. Renee Young, get your motherfucking coins.
When's she gonna sleep?
I mean, shit. Dean ain't doing nothing, so ain't no sleep.
Well,
listen. I'm just, what? So not only is your pre-show about to be 672 hours, but the actual WrestleMania is about to be 800 hours, apparently, because what is that?
Who wants that?
Who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know, but the network apparently needs more content, so. That's what they went for.
Oh, my gosh. Good luck to Renee Young. She's going to need it.
I mean, get that money, but I won't be watching.
Hopefully she invests in Depends.
Well, if you do watch pre-shows.
So much damn pre-show.
Or if you haven't watched a pre-show before, now's your chance to get caught up. Right. What?
There'll be no escaping it, apparently.
I'll find a way. I'm not doing that shit.
Turn on the network. Renee Young's got the little lantern talking about we're here.
We're still here. Like what?
It's like Netflix. Are you still watching? Like, bitch, what? No, I'm not watching it.
We have Bray Wyatt versus Rhino. Rhino attacks, but Wyatt instantly cuts him off and hits Sister Abigail for the win. Wyatt calls out Matt Hardy post-match. He says the Great War is far from over. Matt appears on the screen and says if they have to battle again, it must happen on the Hardy compound. We see Vanguard 1, Skarsgård, the dilapidated boat, in a video of the compound, and Matt says to prepare for ultimate deletion. We better get Rebby in the song. That's all I'm saying. They gonna give me Vanguard 1, Skarsgård, Lake of Reincarnation, all that. I need Rebby playing that piano.
I'm cool.
The Miz presents the Mizzies. Miz, Dallas, and Axel are in the ring. Miz knocks the Oscars and runs down the movies that won over the Marine 5. Miz awards the Mizzy for superstar that pats themselves on the back the best to Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. The next award is for the worst decision by a Raw GM. Angle wins for various things, including bringing his bastard son to Raw. The Miz looks to give himself a Lifetime Achievement Award, but Seth Rollins interrupts. Finn Balor also arrives. Rollins takes issue with Balor following him around, and then The Miz gets pissed and says that neither of them deserve an IC title shot. Rollins makes losing look great, and Balor does the same. Miz runs down Balor for winning the Universal title and having to give it up. This isn't Japan, and to be over, you need more than a hand signal that isn't even yours.
Ooh! Mm. Read.
Mm. Miz got hot ones.
Miz proposes a tag team match, Rollins and Balor versus Miz, Axel, and Bo Dallas. Yeah, so again, The Miz, somebody always catches a hot one. This time it was Finn Balor. That was the hottest one once, too. Mm. Rollins and Balor versus Miz, Axel, and Dallas. Rollins hits the suicide dive, then Balor tags himself in, and they argue. They fade off Miz and company, then Balor follows with the tope. Back in, he hits the shotgun drop kick on The Miz. Balor heads up top, and Rollins tags himself back in and hits the curb stomp and pins The Miz. Kurt Angle arrives and books The Miz versus Balor versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Thoughts? Concerns?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm happy with it.
Okay. I mean, this was like a Baywatch phenomenon for the globe. Rollins and Balor on the same team.
Did you see all of that black bearded, black haired, muscled ass Caucasian bae?
Mm-hmm.
Bless. Sometimes they just give you what you really need in life, and I appreciate it. Because Monday's a hard day, and sometimes you just need a little eye candy. It's like how y'all feel when y'all see, like, Alexa Bliss, and you be like, ooh, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's...
Nah.
And then, not you, when men...
Who does that? Alexa.
Unfortunately, all of the damn WrestleCast family that has penises, they're so annoying. But anyway, it's just so nice.
We go up for Nia. We go up for Bayley.
Nah, but y'all really see it for Alexa.
It's the mic skills. It's the talent. It's the kind of I told you so for me, but yeah.
Never mind. I'm just going to.
Beautiful gowns.
She can't be objective about it.
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
Well, Paul Heyman arrives, and you know he's not going to keep his mouth shut. He's carrying the Universal title, and he's doing his usual introduction. He says he has a message from Brock Lesnar, and he's going to set the record straight. He lays the title down in the ring, and only does so because Brock allows him to do so. He says Brock will successfully defend his title at Mania, and if he chooses to defend at SummerSlam, he'll come back and do the same and lay down the UFC title as well. Last week, Reigns had a lot to say about Brock. Heyman brings up Roman beating The Undertaker, only the second man to do so at Mania. Nobody downplayed that win because The Undertaker only wrestled one time that year, because that would have been bullshit. Brock is Brock, and Roman will not beat Brock at Mania. If he doesn't like that, because Brock will be here next week and Roman can have words with the champion. In AFA Mania, you can seek a new title to challenge for. Now, if you don't get the reference, Afa and Sika are the original Wild Samoans who are Roman's dad and uncle.
Right.
So Heyman says that last week Roman called Brock a bitch, but this title is Brock's bitch because she belongs to Brock. Roman is eyeballing Brock's bitch, but he can't have her. Roman talks about family and bloodline, but when you're champion, this title is your bloodline. If you want the title, you'll have to take it from Brock. The title makes you number one and better than anyone else.
I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you going to take it from Brock when Brock's never there?
Well, this is his opportunity to take it from Brock. Brock gives people opportunities just every season. Summer, spring, summer, and fall.
Quarterly.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I got it.
He's a big money player. You know, the heavyweight champion of the world only fights like twice a year. So Brock's doing more than that.
This ain't fucking...
This is not MMA.
See, not. That's where they got y'all spoiled. That's why they got y'all spoiled. Back in the day, man, it was rare to see the heavyweight champion wrestle on TV. And if he had a title match,
I'm not talking about seeing him wrestle, but was he there? Like, did we
not
see
even
him?
He makes him special.
No. Answer me truly.
Not only that, he didn't even talk.
I don't remember. When, back in the day, I got you that they didn't wrestle all the time, but did you see them?
There would be some weeks where they wouldn't be there. Depending on, but like out of a month, you would probably see them at least twice, at least.
But currently, we're talking about now. There's a 30-day you have to defend your title. And two, a lighter skin tone, champions hadn't defended their title in way longer than 30 days, which was brought out on TV in reference to that one girl. Mm-hmm. And I remember back on SmackDown, Naomi was out of action for literally 2 or 3 weeks or something like that. Or it was like 30. It was like 33 days.
Yeah. It was like 33 days.
It was like 31 and 30 days in like half hour. That's how long she was out. And she had to relinquish her title.
And it sure did.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying.
Vince McMahon will not make, I mean, he don't act like Brock plays by the same rules as everybody else. He makes it fully known when they don't steroid test him. He does. Brock is a special, special case. And I think that that's the reason why the rumors and stuff have come out that they're not so keen to try to sign him back again, because I don't think he wants to, because it's probably now starting to become a bigger issue in the locker room. Because now people are starting to have that thing now, like you're talking about, and where, you know,
he can come and go
and all this, and everybody else has got to work so hard and be under all this scrutiny, and then he waltzes in when he wants to, doesn't do, you know, he does business sometimes, and then he gets to walk back out and just come back again the next quarter.
I just don't understand why everybody loves Brock Lesnar. Like, he's not that interesting.
I like Brock the athlete, not so much as the Universal Champion. I don't like the Universal Championship anyway, which is also, I'm very interested on how, because I've also read that after WrestleMania that WWE is doing without the single brand pay-per-view. So each pay-per-view will be dual branded pay-per-view, which, no.
4 hours.
I'm not here for it, because then that makes Survivor Series less interesting. That makes any other pay-per-view less interesting, because not only do you're going to need 2 more hours to get everybody's brand in, you're also going to leave out championships to be defended as well, which probably is going to be a longer pre-show. Now we have more pre-show.
It's going to make it harder for the marginal guys in the middle on like SmackDown, so that's already a short show to begin with. It's going to make it super hard for them to stand out coming up.
I don't think it'll make it harder for them, just because they're used to having 2 hours, and their show is generally better and easier to watch than Raw is anyway. I don't think they'll have an issue.
I don't know. SmackDown been kind of rough here lately. But to finish this out, Roman comes out, and Roman basically tells him that, you know, we just want him to show up here, make sure he's here, and, you know, make sure that he wants to be here, and he'll be there, and Brock better be dressed for a fight, so... Nothing spectacular from Roman. He didn't jack Paul up or, you know, do what Samoa Joe did to Paul. But, you know, That's what I'm saying. They need to let Roman do something cool. They can't just let him come out there and just talk. He needs to do something cool. You know what I'm saying?
That's going to be hard for him to do.
He needs to run up on Brock somewhere when, like, Brock don't expect it or something.
He don't be there. What? He's supposed to stalk him?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to show up to the crib, like...
Sable out here screaming and shit.
Be waiting for him, like, when he pull up in the limo and get it popping straight from the, you know... Don't even let him get in the building.
That's all cool, but it's still Roman Reigns. Anything he does is going to be corny.
That's the reason, like I said, that's the reason why Braun is where he's at, and that's the reason why Roman's where he's at. Because you guarantee Braun going to do something cool.
Because Braun is a big-ass country white boy who was probably down with a few black people in high school. That's why he does cool shit.
Yeah, as I was thinking about it back in the day, I mean, that's everybody did cool shit, though. Stone Cold did cool shit. DX did cool shit. The Rock did cool shit. Kurt Angle did cool shit. Edge and Christian did cool shit. That's how everybody was so popular. It's because they always was doing something cool, not necessarily having these great matches.
You forgot the king of cool shit, John Cena.
What?
John Cena's coming out in throwback jerseys and Reebok pumps and giving you a full 12 bars before he got into ring every single match. And he gave you a full 12 bars on the actual opponent that he was rapping on. Y'all gonna keep sleeping on John Cena, but okay.
If you thought that was cool, okay. I thought him running around with Crime Time was much cooler, but that's just me.
No. That was when he was on his U2O to be gangbanging. Let's sit down, old man.
If he would have done that
like back when he was on SmackDown and Crime Time was around, then that would have been a little bit cooler. Because then they'd be like, "Dang, you know, John Cena's with his people. He's black, hey, all that shit."
That was the one glimpse you'll ever have of John Cena being a heel for like that little 2 week stretch, and then after that, they switched him back.
Mm-hmm. Crime Time wasn't heels at the time though; they were comedic relief.
Yeah, but John Cena was healing it up a little bit though. But like you said, it was so quick that you couldn't even, you know, it wasn't like anything significant. But that was a fun time for John Cena, for me anyway. Yeah. Then after he ditched that, then he became Super Cena, and it's been downhill since then.
He wears Kmart shoes now, so I can't go.
No.
look at his shoes next time you see him in the ring. That's all I'm gonna say. Just look at the shoes. They have no brand on them. I promise you. Look.
We would call
John Cena looks like the type to be like, "I'm not wearing your shoes unless you fucking pay me." Like, what?
We call those Bobos.
Look at his shoes next time. I promise you, they are not any brand that you've ever seen. I know.
Shoes. I believe it. I know you shoes. Do.
It was like a year or so ago he was wearing Asics, and then he doesn't wear socks too. That also, nah, man.
Mm-mm. Well, man. He's one of those people. They do that.
No, man. Mm-mm. Not when you wrestle. No. We wear socks.
Very disgusted.
I am. We wear socks to the gym always. Can't sweat and not have socks on.
You are so grossed out by this.
I'm offended. I'm personally offended.
Well, that was our Raw report for this week. So now I will turn it over to Miss Didi Jonet for the SmackDown Matters report.
Oh, hey. Yeah, they were in Wisconsin. They were in Green Bay, though, not Milwaukee. Dasha's
were
in the ring.
Were
they what?
Blizzard. Did you miss that?
Oh, the guy. Well, you know, white people do that. White people don't get cold. Much like hoes.
A hoe never get cold.
Yeah. And neither do white people. Don't be a white hoe. You'd be like, what? This is balmy. -6? Yes. Telling you. But so Daisy or Dasha, whatever, is in the ring. She introduces Charlotte and Ruby. Sarah and Liv come with her. Almost immediately, Ruby grabs the mic and tells Dasha to leave. She says that this all started when Charlotte first won the title. Basically, she's been in her feelings because Charlotte is tall, athletic, and the daughter of Ric Flair. She's like, she's the first one to win NXT, Raw, and SmackDown Women's titles. And she said that there's basically been a myth growing around Charlotte, and she basically formed the Riot Squad to take down the myth of Charlotte. She's like, first of all, bitch, I mean, I might be extrapolating. She has to work harder because of who she is. Any failure is reflected on her whole family and her daddy. And her accomplishments have shown that she has transcended any myth about her. And then Ruby says Charlotte's on a pedestal, and she's going to take that away from her, and Charlotte would become another bleach blonde failure with a famous last name.
Who is that shading?
Ow. A bleach blonde with a Ivanka Trump?
Ooh.
Oh, I think that's what she meant. Who else would she mean? Mm-hmm. A bleach blonde with a famous last name. Another bleach blonde with a famous last name.
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton. Adam Cole doesn't have Shawn Michaels' last name, so not him.
What?
What? I was trying to think. Oh, no. Not Ziggles. He's not famous. I figure she meant Ivanka Trump.
Okay.
Who knows? I don't know. Charlotte gets in her face. Sarah and Liv jump into the ring. Bobby Roode interrupts. And Charlotte lights up. Like, maybe they might be having sex in the back. And I'm not saying that they are. I'm just saying that's how happy she looked.
Mm.
No judgment. He is glorious. So, they say Bobby's there. Yes, he is. They say that Bobby's there to do commentary for the next match. But the timing worked out for Charlotte. And she just looks so happy. She, like, clutches her hands. And she just looked like a kid on Christmas morning. But he's glorious, so nobody's shocked. Anyway, first match of the night is Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton. After the break, Jinder's in control, blah, blah, blah. Orton makes a comeback, but Jinder escapes to the ring before he can hit a draping DDT. He pushes Sunil into Randy, and then Randy backdrops Sunil onto the announce table. Jinder tries to catch Randy off guard, but Orton counters and tosses him into Rude at the announce table. Orton sets up an RKO when Bobby jumps on the ring to yell at him, like, who do you think you are? Orton was, what? Distracted. So Jinder kneed him into Rude and nailed a Colossus for the win. Yay.
Pour up. Drink.
Fuck all ass. Twerk. All right. Kevin approaches Sammy backstage. He says he's surprised that Sammy would lie down for him at Fastlane. Does a little suck up thing, calls him an amazing guy and competitor. Sane says his success is all due to Owens. He says his next time will come, but now it's Kevin's time. And Kevin's will become Grand Slam champion if he wins the WWE title. That seems fast. Anyway, Sam says he will lie down for him at Fastlane, and then they hug. That's so nice. Baron Corbin of the Missing Hairline does a selfie promo. He says he's glad John Cena was added to the title match because he owes him one for costing him the Money in the Bank contract. That's an interesting theory on how that happened, but sure, Jan. Daisy asks Shinsuke if he's worried that his dream match against AJ Styles was in jeopardy. He says yes, but he hopes AJ wins so that he can beat him with a knee to the face. Because that's all the English he wants to tell. Knee to the face. It's like his version of get these hands. Before he could finish this sentence, he's interrupted by Rusev and Aiden English. Aiden can't speak or sing because of what Nakamura did to him. At least that's what Rusev claims. He then challenges Nakamura to a match at Fastlane, and it's accepted. And then he says that after he wins, Sunday will be Nakamura Day. It's great. And then Russo's like, you can't make up your own holiday.
That was the funniest thing of the whole show.
Just like, how dare you? Like, who does that?
Right. Like, the nerve of this dude.
Just making up your own holiday. I love an indignant wrestler. God bless him. Yeah, so
I think
funny.
I think I'm going to go drink. I'm going to this bar tomorrow, my favorite beer bar, because I think they mixed up like a West Coast IPA and a East Coast IPA and an England style IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it Big vs. Pac. And I got to go try this just strictly off the name.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I'm going to wear my Happy Rusev Day shirt.
That's cute. Oh, I need to go drink tomorrow for reasons. The reason being I want to drink. Next is Becky versus
I'm Hannah. Not drinking till Mania. So
what? No, don't do that. I did that for my brother's wedding. I was like, I'm not going to drink till I get down to New Orleans. Fucked my shit up.
I drank like a week ago.
Like, minimize your drinking? Sure. But don't stop drinking. Don't stop drinking because I did it. It's an awful idea.
I mean, I really drink anyway. I really drink anyway, so it's not.
Do it a little more than you think. Unless you're going to be good in New Orleans and not do it. But if you're going
to... I mean, I'm grown. Everybody else that's going to be down there is 12, so...
12. But that's the thing about New Orleans. You can go get you like a slushy ass drink with liquor in it and go walk around. Like, they don't feel left out. You be like, because you know, like some places you go, if you want a drink, you stuck at the bar. You can walk. Where are we going? To the zoo? Let's go. Like, it's crazy. I love New Orleans.
I've never been to New Orleans. This will be my first time.
It's amazing. It's a magical place full of alcohol and sin.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there when I was a kid, but obviously not to know.
It's different when you're an adult. It's different when you can walk around with alcohol and nobody looks at you crazy. You know, like, I saw people that got sick. It's so different where, like, you're legit throwing up in the street and
crazy. I feel like I've lived South by Southwest, which is low-key, though, it's kind of the same type of thing. So
it's just, like, literally nobody cares, but they're sweet because they're Southern, so they're like, are you okay? Do you need water? Do you need Gatorade? Like, how can we help? They didn't do all that, but they were like,
it's crazy because every time I say I'm going to New Orleans, and people are like, give me that look, like New Orleans is bad. Like, it's just like,
no, you just have to know your limitations. If you're not one to get wild, it's fine. I think I got sick because the water was bad, but maybe I'm just in denial about my situation. I don't know.
I don't know. I only drink Fiji water anyway, so.
Oh yeah, that's great. Because when I went, there was a thing. So things happened. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not their fault. It was a storm. They're not used to snow. Shit happened. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. You're going in like March, April. It'll be warm. It'll be normal. But I'm just saying, if you drink, don't decide to be like, I'm not going to drink till I get there. Because no, you have to prepare yourself. Gird your loins. Get it together.
I don't really drink like that. And if I do, I only drink margaritas and Hennessy. So
Hennessy. Black.
Henny 316. That's my next shirt dropping on 316.
You heard it here first. Breaking news on the WrestleCast, folks.
I don't even drink Hennessy, but I like the idea of that on the shirt. Yeah. I like that. Anyway, let me get through this. Becky Lynch versus Carmella. Apparently, they were arguing on Twitter about things. Mm-hmm. Naomi's watching best.
Did they take her away from us?
I don't know. She muted her mic by accident, I think. Oh, yeah, they took her away.
Yeah, the internet has snatched her away from us.
Hi.
Oh, no. She's back.
Recovery.
Ooh.
I saw it going back because magic.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
Black girl magic.
They don't even want to talk about Carmella either. See what happened? So like I said, Carmella versus Becky. Naomi's backstage. They were fighting on Twitter. Not Naomi. Carmella and Becky. Carmella thought she had the match won with a kick, but Becky got her foot on the rope. Then Becky gives her an exploder, and then she wins with a disarmer. And that's that. Backstage, Natty confronts Naomi and warns her not to be friends with Becky because all her friends get burned. And Naomi's like, but bitch, you don't have no friends. And she said, I have plenty of friends. And she says, iconically, name one that's not a cat. She has nothing. So then Naomi challenges her to a tag match at Fastlane, and she accepts, the tag match being Naomi and Becky versus Natty and Carmella. There is going to be a 50-man Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia come April, I think. Maybe I have the dates wrong, but hopefully that gets to be on the network because 50 people, goddamn. So,
well, in Saudi Arabia, because of their religion and their, you know, laws and customs, they can't have any women wrestle on the show. Mm-hmm. So I guess the 50-man battle royal is going to kind of supplement not having the women's matches.
Oh, interesting. Hmm. So I guess earlier today, a stagehand was walking outside and they fell in the snow and they decided to show everybody a couple times.
That wasn't a stagehand. That was an actual dude.
That was just a strange white person?
Strange white person.
Shocker. AJ comes out for a promo. He talks about the tough road to being a WWE champion. He says he's not going to complain about his upcoming title match being unfair, but it's unfair. He just wants to fight. He moves on to John Cena, but nobody wants to talk about John Cena. Why are we talking about John Cena? But whatever. They show what he did on Raw, which means they think we're going to watch it twice. We ain't. AJ says that John isn't the only one who has to win at Fastlane. He's not interested in John's idea for a three-way at Mania. And neither is the crowd. AJ wants his WrestleMania moment, which is defending his WWE title against the best. He wants Nakamura. And asks, who would have thought we would see this match in WWE? Because they're famous, not in the WWE. He was fighting for us. I guess the us being indie guys or fans of indie wrestling?
The fans.
Because the match at WrestleMania will be nothing short of phenomenal. Ziggles interrupts. He wonders what happened to the cool AJ Styles and not the soccer mom AJ Styles. He calls him desperate. He's like, that's very funny for a guy who was in WWE for 13 years and still hadn't reached his potential. Mm. And he's like, yeah, it took AJ a decade to even get here into the house that Ziggles built, which, excuse me, no.
It's a fact, though. It did take him 10 years. Yeah, actually, but, more than 10 years.
Yeah, but it ain't his house.
It's Run's house.
It's my house, but that's okay. Ziggles says AJ will lose on Sunday, not because the numbers are against him, but because he was doing it for the people who would just stab him in the back. He said he was told to his face he would never be champion in WWE, but he won Money in the Bank and he won the title. When he cashed in, it felt like he did it with the people, but the people don't deserve it. They watched for them couches as Ziggles worked his ass off, and yet after all these years, he has never had a singles match at WrestleMania. Ziggles tells AJ to take his dream match and shove it up his ass or something. Mm. AJ's tired of Ziggles talking, and they're just like, why don't we just have the match right now? You know? Right now. So they do. The devil is a lie. Am I here?
You still with us? You're still
listen, with us. Listen, now I gotta go quick because they just don't want me on the call. Okay. Where was I before I was so rudely interrupted?
AJ Styles and Ziggles were about to start their match.
Okay, slingshot forearm to the outside. Ziggles is good after the break. AJ makes a comeback. Ziggles rakes him in the eye because fuck yeah. Fight fair for what? Kicks his leg and then hits a famous serve for a two count with AJ standing on the apron. They trade vertical suplex attempts. Eventually, Ziggles slingshots him into the ring post. After a break, Ziggles sets up for a Styles clash. AJ slips out. They trade counters. Ziggles hits a zigzag for a two count with both guys down. Owens and Sammy jump into the ring to attack both men. The ref calls for a bell. And then, before Kevin and Sammy can leave, Shane comes out. And he's like, yeah, I bet you think we're just going to have another tag match. No, no, we're not. Because we're what? Not unoriginal sometimes. So instead, they have a non-title fatal five-way. Sammy versus Kevin versus Ziggles versus Baron versus AJ. So, early on, Cammy are teaming up, and Sammy allows Kevin to attempt pinfalls without breaking them up. Eventually, they do a spot where everyone trades moves, ending with AJ giving Sammy a Pele kick. Commercial break. After the break, they do a Tower of Doom spot where Kevin and Baron powerbombed everybody else. Sammy hits Ziggles with a blue thunder bomb. AJ breaks it up and punches him right in the mouth. Owens gives Ziggles a German suplex, followed by a cannonball. He gives Corbin an elbow drop. Styles breaks that up. Ziggles spikes on with a DDT, then gives Corbin a zigzag. He avoids a tornado DDT by Sammy and nails him with a super kick, but again, AJ breaks it up. They're pushing how exhausted AJ must be. He tries for a phenomenal forearm on Baron or somebody, but Baron knocks him down. And then Corbin gives Kevin a deep six. AJ breaks that up. AJ gives Corbin an enziguri, hits Ziggles with a spinning heel kick, and gives Sammy a springboard inverted DDT. Sammy and Kevin team up to knock AJ out of the ring, and then, out of nowhere, Sammy hits Kevin with a helluva kick for the win. Ow! Ginger snap, what, ginger snap, what? After the match with like 17 seconds to go, Daisy asked Sammy why he did what he did. And he's like, that's a stupid question, bitch. He didn't say bitch, because Sammy has manners. But that's what he meant. And then Sammy calls himself the best in the WWE, but the most overlooked performer on the roster since coming to SmackDown. He says, don't ask stupid questions. And then he says, tonight's not the night for the WWE champion.
Uh-oh.
I was trying to go fast.
You're stupid.
They won't be great. Jesus. Tonight's the night for the WWE champion. Tonight's about one thing. Who's the best? And I prove that it is Sami Zayn. Boom.
Look at your...
Because he beat four other people.
Look at your ginger bae stepping out.
The bearded ginger bae. It's because he got a beard now. Mm. Cheat code.
He said he'd lay down for Kevin Owens at Fastlane. He didn't say nothing about SmackDown.
Exactly.
Even that's a lie, but at least he could always be like, I didn't say anything about what happens on Tuesdays.
Right.
That's a Sunday conversation.
And like you said, it was a good twist by Shane to not make a tag team match and change it up a little bit.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, so you do know that we all know that you do that. But then it's like, so why do you keep doing it then? Like, but at least they didn't do it this time, I guess. Got to look at the positives.
Right.
Next. Well, that's a big girl. I'm sorry. You know, I turned to my 600-pound life.
Yes.
You know one of the guys on the WrestleCast.
I heard that.
Yeah, lost 250 pounds and then had a heart attack. See, just stay fat. No, that's awful advice. Terrible advice. Don't listen to me.
NXT was next. We had the Authors of Pain versus TM61 in a Dusty Classic Tag Team Tournament match. Thorn hits a Saito suplex and Miller hits a moonsault for a two count. It breaks down and Thorn gets powerbombed from the ring onto the apron. Miller is left alone and the final chapter finishes him off and the Authors of Pain get the win. Yeah, I don't know how my man Shane Thorn is walking after getting powerbombed from inside the ring to outside the ring on the apron. That was nasty. Steven Regal talks about the Dusty Classic, and Pete Dunne arrives and says the UK title will stay in the UK. Roderick Strong arrives and says Dunne was the better man. The Undisputed Era arrives, and Cole starts to mock Roderick Strong. Dunne responds by saying Cole hasn't won anything. They kind of buck up with each other, and then Regal comes in and is like, is there a problem here? And Cole goes, nah, there's no problem here. And they, Undisputed Era, departs. We get a promo with Sanity. They plan to make chaos for the Dusty Classic. Next, we get my new fave, Bianca Belair versus Drew Renee. Belair attacks right away. She hits a suplex. She rolls into a second suplex. And then she rolls into a third suplex. Then she hits the alley-oop reverse powerbomb and gets the win. So much swag. She is just so good. They're building her up. She's going to be a title challenger, and I can't wait. Next up, Lacey Evans faces Dakota Kai next week, and Lacey will prove herself the dominant woman when they face. Shayna Baszler arrives and says Ember Moon is afraid of her and isn't a fighting champion.
Oh, God.
Right.
Nobody has to fight a loser, girl. Like, go on. That's not how this works.
Heavy Machinery works out and cuts a promo on the Dusty Classic. Tommaso Ciampa arrives.
Yes, Munch Bay. Wow.
He makes his way to the ring, and the crowd hates him, chanting for Johnny Gargano. Ciampa stares at his crutch to boos. Every time he tries to talk, the crowd boos. More chants for Gargano, so Ciampa teases leaving. Ciampa then finally decides to leave, staring down the crowd. He gets the lead chance as he slowly walks out. He grabs a Gargano sign from a fan and rips it up and beats on it with the crutch.
That fan was shook.
The crowd, again, chants for Gargano, much to the dismay of Tommaso Ciampa. This was almost Roman Reigns level heat. He ain't say nothing, and the crowd said everything they needed to say for him. I don't know how they are going to get back to that match, but whatever they do, it's going to be creative and it's going to be damn worth the payoff.
It's going to be amazing. They're going to kill each other.
We get our main event, Aleister Black versus Killian Dane.
Oh, you mean Aleister Snack?
Mm-hmm. You did. You say so.
I do.
Killian, I do too. Okay.
Killian Dane slams Black down and follows with the Wasteland and the Big Boy Senton. Dane hits the Vader Splash for a near fall. Black counters the One Winged Angel and hits the Black Mask, and Aleister Black gets the win over Killian Dane. This was a pretty good main event. Aleister Black was fighting from underneath a little bit here, tried to, you know, build him up as a sympathetic babyface a little bit, and that Black Mask is so lethal, you never know when he's going to hit it. He can hit it out of nowhere, and that kind of what happened here in this match. So, and Killian Dane is really good, too. Both of these guys are going to be hopefully pretty good once they get to the main roster, but we know how they have a tendency to mess people up once they get to the main roster, so hopefully they don't screw these two up. But this was a good match. I liked it. Thoughts, concerns, questions?
I didn't see it. Yeah. But I believe you. Yeah. I have faith in it.
YouTube. If you miss anything on WWE, just go on YouTube. You can catch up with whatever you need to catch up with in like 25 minutes. The whole like 2 or 3 hours.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They have every segment chopped down to like a 4, 3, 4, 5 minute clip.
Oh, it's made for people like me and those with ADD. That's so nice.
And you get like the WWE.com backstage interviews and stuff that are much better than the promos you get on TV.
Than Daisy and them?
Yeah.
You can say it. You can say it. It's okay.
Yeah, they're much better than the promos you get on TV a lot of times. At this point, we want you guys to reach out. Please support the podcast. Keep the podcast free each and every week. Visit cspn.us. Scroll down to the link that says keep our podcast free. Underneath that link, then click on any of our sponsors. You can do like I did. As I bought a new computer this past week, and go to Amazon, do your purchase like you normally would. And once you check out, some of your purchase comes back to the network and help keep all the podcasts free each and every week. So Amazon and CSPN.us, do it today. Final review really quick is 205 Live. We're still in the midst of the Cruiserweight tournament. So we have another quarterfinals match between Drew Gulak and Mark Andrews. Gulak cuts a pre-match promo and he says he has no PowerPoint to give and has to focus on Andrews. Andrews hits Gulak with the Stun Doll Millionaire. Andrew heads up top and the Shooting Star Press eats the knees. Gulak locks on a Dragon Sleeper and Andrews taps out. I like this new Drew Gulak. He's mean, he's vicious, and he's winning. So can't be mad at a winner. Drake Maverick meets with Tozawa and Itami, and they will be in tag team action tonight. Mustafa Ali comments on tonight's match with Buddy Murphy. Hideo Itami and Akira Tozawa versus a local competitors. Local competitor tags in, and Itami lights him up with strikes and kicks. Itami heads up top and hits the flying clothesline. More strikes follow, then Tozawa tags in, and we get the double team maneuvers. Tozawa heads back up to the top, and he hits the atomic senton bomb, and they get the win. We get a Roderick Strong video package, followed by a promo by Cedric Alexander. Both talk about being close to WrestleMania and the Cruiserweight Championship. Then we get our final quarterfinal match between Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali. Ali knocks Murphy to the mat. He then hits a 450 onto the arm of Buddy Murphy. Murphy fires back and runs into a spin kick. Murphy's arm is giving him issues, and Murphy couldn't hit his finish. Ali cradles Murphy, and Ali gets the win. So next week, our final four matchups will be Mustafa Ali versus Drew Gulak and a Roderick Strong versus Cedric Alexander with the right to move on to the Cruiserweight title championship match at WrestleMania. Roderick Strong and Cedric Alexander could tear it down. Like if they give them 15 minutes or 20 minutes and they go out there and wrestle like they only got eight, it could be the match that brings people back to 205 Live. It could be that good. I have extremely high hopes. Like it should be the Mania match, but it's not going to be. It's probably going to be Cedric and Mustafa Ali at Mania to tell the whole story of the two guys who were having the best pure cruiserweight matches while the champion wasn't a pure cruiserweight wrestler. So I think that's what it looks like it's going to be, but hopefully Roderick Strong and Cedric Alexander really light it up. So I'm looking forward to that match next week for sure. And at this point, our last segment, we got to get you guys ready for Fastlane is this Sunday, 8 p.m. WWE Network. You can follow along with our live tweet at hashtag cast in the Fastlane. And that would be cast IN and then the DA Fastlane. So Dee Dee, sharpen your pencil and get ready to take some stats down as we get ready to play our favorite game here with our 2017 El Dandy Award winner for Guest of the Year, Miss Alexis.
I've never gotten to play this game. I've always wanted to play this game.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, I've never been on a podcast where a pay-per-view is coming up and I got to do it.
So look at this. A first. See, here we go.
Well, I hope it's good for you.
So we have our first match, which will probably be on the hashtag say no to pre-shows. Becky Lynch and Naomi versus Carmella and Natalya. So, Miss Alexis, young and little fit, who you got?
I'm going to go with Becky and Naomi.
All right. Miss Didi Jone, who you got?
I wasn't paying attention. This is Carmella and Natty, Bo?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah. I have Naomi and Becky.
Okay. And we can make it a clean sweep, as I will have Becky Lynch and Naomi as well. All right, Dee Dee, next up, it'll be you first, as we have a Nakamura Day versus Rusev Day.
Oh. I don't really know what they would be doing if they had Rusev win, so I'm going to go ahead and go with Nakamura.
All right. Look at you using your logic to pick this week.
You know, I'm trying. I'm sick of being 1 point away from winning.
Young Littlefoot, Shinsuke, or Rusev? Who you got?
I'm going with Shinsuke.
All right. I'm going to also agree with the ladies, and I'm going to pick Shinsuke Nakamura as well. For the United States Championship, we have the glorious Bobby Roode versus All Lives Matter, Randy Orton.
Oh, Lord.
Alexa, who you got?
I'm going to go Bobby Roode.
All right. She's going with the glorious one, Bobby Roode.
Same.
Yes, we knew your answer. Didn't even really necessarily have to ask you, right?
I know.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bobby Roode as well. This isn't going to be a very interesting game, is it?
This isn't looking like too much of a competition right here.
I don't know.
Look like a good pay-per-view either.
This one might get a little split reaction.
All right.
For the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, We have the Usos versus the New Day. Miss Didi Jonet, who you got?
I don't know the New Day.
All right.
I'm not confident when it comes to them. I'm not confident with anything involving them. I don't know. They're going to be at Awesome Con in a few weeks. So maybe they're going to bring their titles with them to Awesome Con. I don't know. I don't know. I'll go with New Day. Who knows?
Miss Young Littlefoot, who you got?
I say New Day just because I can't wait for the 5-time Booker T references that they're going to make. that's fine.
All right, so Don.
I'm going to go with the Trapped Usos.
I knew you would.
But this is going to be, they could tear it down. This should be a fantastic match. Best match on the card by far. Next up, the SmackDown Women's Championship match between Charlotte Flair and Ruby Riott. Alexis, who you got?
I'm going to go with, it would be interesting.
Do it.
Nah, I'm going to go with Charlotte. WWE is not that bold. I got to stop thinking like I'm making the matches.
Miss Didi Jonet.
I also have Charlotte.
All right. And we'll make it a clean sweep as well, as I have Charlotte as well.
Jeez. And this is going to be close.
Our main event of the evening, AJ Styles versus John Cena versus Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn versus Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler for the WWE Championship. So, Miss Didi Jonet, who you got?
AJ, Cena, Kevin, Sami. Ooh! And the person who wins this is the champion.
Right.
And then they go to WrestleMania. Oh shit! No, but he said at WrestleMania he wanted to fight Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then I have AJ.
All right, Miss Alexis, who you got?
I'm not confident in that at all. Jeez,
it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's real tough. Okay. I think Kevin Owens might do something.
Okay.
Here we go. Get a little bit of a change up here. I'm going to go with AJ Styles because they're going to have a whole wrestling community from all over everywhere descending upon New Orleans next month. And they coming to see one thing. AJ Styles and Nakamura in a WWE ring at WrestleMania.
I'm coming because my flight was already booked. Before the matches. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's like a 15% of the people who are like you. And then once they realize that this match is going to be there, they're like, oh, yeah.
Who had money to do that?
Good choice.
Flights was 700 by that time. No, sir, not me.
Well, some people probably start at the end of the last WrestleMania saving.
That's probably when flights was 200. Okay.
Yeah, they probably acquire the flight first and then get everything else after that when it's at a cheaper rate.
I bought my flight and my hotel in November.
That's smart.
Very.
Yeah, I don't I tried to wait till last minute when it was in Orlando. It didn't work out, so I ended up going.
So again, play along with us. I will be releasing the poll on Twitter so you guys can vote on who you think will win these matches at Fastlane. Come share your commentary with color with us by using the hashtag #CastInTheFastLane, and that starts at 8 p.m. on Sunday night. So we'll all be there sharing memes and GIFs and our opinions and commentary. So it'll be fun as usual.
This is going to be the tightest competition.
Because it's only like, there's like
literally 1 or 2 points.
Yeah, like there's two different categories. Right.
We only deviated on tag teams and the six-pack challenge. Like, that's all we got. Because if the Usos win, you win. And if Kevin wins, Young Littlefoot might win. I guess we'll all find out on Sunday.
We're all going to win. We're going to
As long as John Cena doesn't win, we all
win. That's what I didn't want to say. Then oh, my God.
So at this
point, I just want somebody to like really go into John Cena, because nobody's really talked to John Cena crazy about this, because they had a prime opportunity to say that that his only WrestleMania moment is going to be him proposing to Nikki Bella in the ring, because he hasn't had a WrestleMania moment in a few years. That's his latest WrestleMania moment. It's him proposing to Nikki Bella.
So that's all.
That's kind of embarrassing.
Why don't they just get married at WrestleMania? You know, like, just make it all about yourselves.
That's what I thought would have happened by now.
Because he don't want to get married.
Too bougie for that. She is not doing that.
No, she's not. That's a guaranteed eyeball on your wedding. And then they could have gone and been interviewed by the Today Show the day after.
It's going to be on the Total Bellas special. Please. They're going to have a wedding special. Like everybody else on the reality show does.
Still, you can have your Total Bellas special, or you can have it at WrestleMania where everybody has to watch.
Her and guess when they ask, and guess what's gonna happen when they ask for objections? I'm running right up there. I object.
Man. So at this point, Alexis, I'm gonna open it up to you for thank you shout outs. Let the people know again where they can find your t-shirts and they can follow your blog.
AlexisLittlefoot.com. You can find me. That's it. My social media is on there too.
Support the homie, y'all. 2017 L Dandy. Award winner of the year for guest of the year, out here popping. I know y'all seen the various superstars wearing her gear and the Instagrams and stuff and on the Twitters, so she's doing big things.
Yeah, shout out to Sasha.
Miss Didi Jone, your thank yous and shout outs.
Shout out to Young Littlefoot, shout out to you, shout out to Sam, Greg, Classic, Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout outs to, you know, everybody who made SmackDown Matters a trending topic this week. Y'all are the real MVPs. Y'all did that. Yes, you did. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Yeah, I just want to thank the same people that Didi just thanked. All the people who came out to the Rawcast and SmackDown Matters live tweet this week. Everybody who listens each and every week. Sam and Greg and Jamal. And give a big shout out to Bad Advice Show. Those guys came back with the new podcast today in Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Your shout out to Bad and Boozy Podcast and everybody here on CSPN. They're doing it real big. Guys, keep a listen to us. Every day we've got something that comes out that will suit your fancy. So if you don't like sports, you might like comic books. If you don't like comic books, you might like drinking. If you don't like drinking, you just might like Ratchet TV. But, you know, we got something for everybody. Like I said, join us this Sunday for our live tweet. 7 o'clock, you can join us for the hashtag Say No to Pre-Shows. And then at 8, hashtag Cast in the Fast Lane. Look out for all polls I'll be putting up this weekend so you guys can vote in the polls. And New Japan Pro Wrestling fans, the New Japan Cup starts on Friday. The first round starts, and we got some very interesting matches. So we got my man Naito versus Zack Sabre Jr. I don't know who I'm going to go for in that match. Those are two of my favorites. We got Kota Ibushi in the first round. He's in the tournament, so this should be a lot of fun. So check that out if you guys are fans of New Japan. If you have New Japan World this weekend, that'll be something very entertaining to set your eyes on. So on that note, for our guest, the 2017 El Dandy Award winner for Guest of the Year, Alexis, a.k.a. Young Littlefoot, and my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jone. I'm Don DeLaurentiis, and now stay tuned for the parting present.
On November 14th, when Charlotte won the SmackDown Women's title, she became the first superstar to ever win the NXT, Divas, Raw, and SmackDown Women's Championships. And I watched as the myth began to form. The myth that Charlotte Flair was the personification of the women's revolution. And that's why 2 weeks after you won the title, Charlotte, I formed the Riot Squad with one sole purpose: to destroy the myth.
The only myth that exists about me is that I've been handed anything in my life. I've had to work hard, probably harder than others, because of who I am. And the fact, Ruby, that I have accomplished everything you just said proves that I have transcended any myth about me. And the reality is, I am standing right here. And I am every bit as good as you've heard.
You know what? That's what makes this so exciting, Charlotte. Whether you were placed there or you put yourself there, you're on a pedestal. And all of that is on the line this Sunday at Fastlane. So when I take your crown, you will no longer be the queen. Your reality is gonna crumble. You're just gonna be another bleach blonde failure with a famous last name.
Hey, Roman, what's the biggest victory of your career? Last year, in the main event of WrestleMania, when you defeated The Undertaker. And props to you for doing so, one of only two men in history to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And did anybody bring up the fact, even one person say, Roman Reigns beating The Undertaker didn't mean anything? The Undertaker only wrestled one time that year. No, nobody made that statement. You know why? Because if they did make that statement, that statement would be... The Undertaker is The Undertaker 365 days a year. You beat The Undertaker. Props to you. Brock Lesnar is Brock Lesnar 365 days a year. Except at this WrestleMania, you ain't beating Brock Lesnar, and you're not taking this title away from Brock Lesnar. And if Roman Reigns doesn't like what I'm saying, then next week, right here on Raw, he can do something about it. Because next week, right here on Raw, I will bring out Brock Lesnar.
Brock really is a b***h, isn't he? And I'm not even asking for, all I'm asking is that he shows up. They aren't asking for much. All they're asking is that their champion shows up to work. But that's not even enough, y'all. We don't want Brock to just show up. We want Brock to actually want to be here. So I'm going to keep this real simple, Paul. You said Brock is going to be in Detroit next week for Raw. Well, that means so am I. I want you to tell Brock that he can say whatever he wants to my face, but you just make sure that he doesn't come dressed for a promo segment. He comes dressed for a fight.